couple of questions come in over social media, like always. And
email address twvgshow@gmail.com, Twitter handle at twvgshow, and hashtag twvgshow on Twitter. And you can always find us on all of our social media platforms by just searching The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener and our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. I want to plant a pear tree in our new front yard, but I want to plant a pear tree successfully. What is a good variety or varieties in which I can grow in Zone 5, and when should I plant the trees?
Sure. So you can plant one variety is called the Harrow Delight or the Warren. Otherwise, if you are at the, say, like, well, I don't know what the nursery has or whatever, you just go there, and typically your nursery is going to stock, if they're knowledgeable, they're going to stock what is needed.
Right, they're not going to have a pear tree that can only grow in Connecticut, in Minnesota type of thing.
Right, so that's one thing is like, hey, what should I get? Definitely I would check out your local garden center or nursery, what have you. But you want to plant that tree in early spring or late winter, so kind of like that March-ish area.
At least for the Zone 5 area here. Mm-hmm. Also, you want to make sure that the specific type of variety tree in which you're purchasing is, if you're looking for one tree, it's a self-pollinating tree. Otherwise, you would have to get two trees to pollinate pollinate the two. Some species and varieties are self-pollinating. Others need a partner in which to pollinate the fruit that they're growing. Next question comes in. My carrots, beets, turnips are really late. I really got a late start on them. 2 weeks ago, I looked at them, and the carrots were about 2 inches in length, and the beets are about 1 inch across. My question is, should I pull them out, or can I leave them in and let them grow longer with the potential frost and possible freeze here in the next days and weeks? I live about 30 minutes south of Green Bay, Wisconsin, Zone 5A. Thank you. Well, fortunately, those are all cooler weather crops. And if you're just going to have a frost like we had in the Milwaukee area last night, you're okay. It's not going to hurt them. It may slow their growth down a little bit, and then during the warmth of the day, it'll pick back up. But it's not going to kill them like it would a tomato, a pepper, or eggplant, that type of thing. The other thing in which you can do is if it's they can withstand a freeze up to about 27 degrees. So beyond that, what you can do is take your leaves and mound over that area and basically create a blanket of insulation over top of your plants. If you're going to get like, for example, if tomorrow night's going to be 21 degrees, you can cover those with leaves, 2-3 foot of leaves. And then if the next week is going to be, you know, warmer temperatures and mild nights, you can remove the leaves. You're basically creating a little refrigerator to keeping the soil from freezing and keeping the plant from freezing. Now, you can also do this over winter. You can overwinter them, too. Amish has been known to do this with their carrots. Especially, they just create this humongous mountain of leaves over top of the bed in which they're preserving. And then they just go out, harvest what they want, cover it back up. So it's a living refrigerator outside.
Right, definitely.
And you can do this with your – it's a little bit more difficult with your Brussels sprouts and kale because of the size of the plant. But with beets, turnips, and carrots, for example, those are easy to go about doing it.
I also had a coworker ask me when to plant garlic, and I told her that we're planting garlic this weekend. You basically have this week, next week, maybe the week after.
Well, you can go until you can't chisel
right, so
it in the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of explained that to her as well. So that was another question. She came to our garlic talk at the Germantown Library, and she said we were informative and knowledgeable, and she really enjoyed it.
Right. Well, that's good. Back to the question about the carrots, beets, and turnips.
Oh, yeah.
When would you recommend harvesting them? If you're not going to cover them, harvest them before the ground freezes. And then that way, you know, if it freezes, the plant's pretty much not going to be edible at that point. You want to harvest it prior to that. Leeks are one, Brussels sprouts are another, kale is another that can handle a lot hardier temperatures as the temperatures get colder. Whenever we get down to, you know, 23, 18, 15, a lot of these plants are not going to, they're going to go into dormancy, they're not going to be edible. Some of them will come back the following year, but we want to keep that in mind that not all of these, we want to, you know, cover or can cover. What do we do? We've got an abundance of kale this year. Holly, what is the recommendation real quickly? What can you do with the kale to preserve it?
You can blanch it and freeze it. That's one way. So you just take it, you take it off the stems, you blanch it, which means you put it in boiling water for like a few seconds and then put it into ice bath and then you freeze it in portions.
All right. Now, you don't always have to have a question. You can also respond to comments of questions in which we've asked our guest. Deb did this under the in-studio video of the interview with our guest a couple of weeks ago, Melissa Larkus, who is a sustainable agricultural specialist in the Austin, Texas area, when we asked her, can you visually see if soil is healthy? She gave her answer, and Deb voiced in with her comment, which is accurate and correct. Deb says, one indicator I used for good soil is having lots of worms. I had a load of dirt brought in. I thought it was cheaper than buying in sacks. I did not find a single worm. Slowly I am modifying it for container uses, but what a disappointment. Weeds love it, grow in it too. Glad to see more people using less chemicals. Well, thank you, Deb, for your comment, and she's exactly right. You can tell if soil is healthy by the number of worms in which you have in that soil. Now, it doesn't break down if you have lead in the soil or other chemicals or levels of NPK in which you have, but worms typically do not go in toxic soil or dead soil in order, you know, to live. They want to go in somewhere where it's fertile. It's got a lot of organic material in which they can feed off of, and that is a great indicator of that. Now, we have a tremendous amount of worms in our garden. We don't till. We do soil disturbance when necessary for weed removal, root removal, and harvesting. We have the University of Wisconsin, I believe, in Madison, says you need to have somewhere in the range of 9 to 12 worms per cubic square foot of soil to can be considered healthy or good shape. A couple of years back, we have tested that theory in our garden, and we haven't done it recently. I know the increase in population has exploded, but we had 24 worms in one cubic square foot of soil. So that was twice as many as was recommended. Now, the nice thing about worms is they won't overpopulate themselves. Once they get to a population, it's very unique with worms and nature, with the worms in the garden or in a worm bin. Once they get to a population, for the instance of, you know, killing themselves out by eating, a very unique way in which the worms utilize a location in the soil or a worm bin. Now, you should never add worms to a container or your garden. Worms can migrate into containers, grow bags based on the compost or soil you're putting in it. Sometimes they do contain worm eggs, and they will germinate that or develop that way. And if you add worms into your garden, you're bringing worms from an ecosystem that is not, they're not used to, putting them in an ecosystem they're not used to, and you can possibly have a overpopulation of one worm versus what's native to your area, and you can cause problems or they will die off. So add organic material to your garden bed and they will come. You don't have to worry about it. We, coffee grounds, shredded leaves, compost, whatever the case is, natural, they will come and populate your garden and it will flourish. Thank you for checking out the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. For more, go to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com for full length in-studio video and podcast replay of Season 1. Season 2 underway and added weekly. Tweet us at TWVG Show or hashtag TWVG to be part of the program.